All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Welcome to a brand new episode of Word Bros. This week we have Trey Walker and Hoyt Silva, the creative team, or two-thirds of the creative team, behind the book, webcomic, Kickstarter, Last Stop. That'll be
Jacket. Flamethrower.
They are, it's like Spaceballs up in here. They
got that ring.
Everything you need, they got. It's an exciting webcomic about a superhero who gets the cancer, you see? And then how he deals with his existence after that. So it's a cool stuff. It's a cool guys. It's a fun interview, and we're excited.
We didn't introduce ourselves though.
If you're
listening at this point, you got to know who we are. So yeah.
My name is Bob. I am a comic book writer, and I'm joined by my dear, dear friend and co-creator,
me,
Kevin Cuff. Kevin Cuff. And we make comics, and we make this podcast, and
we're dads, and we just have fun. That's what we try and do.
And we try to spread the word, man. Like, you know, we're just fans of the medium and fans of creatives in general. So we just try to have people on and let them talk about their projects, because that's the one thing I think sometimes is lacking in the world of making comics. If you're Brian Michael Bendis, you can go anywhere
and talk to anybody. Right.
But if you're, you know, a smaller time creator, you know, you're kind of fleshing some stuff out, you're working some things out, you're new at this, you've got like maybe 6 or 7 published credits, you might not be hot shit, you might not be hot to death. You can come here and talk about the things you're working on. So it's really cool, man.
And you can always contact us if you want to come here and talk about it. And we'll take a look at what you got and see if we can schedule you in.
I don't think we've ever said no to anybody, to be fair.
No, I don't think we said no to anybody yet. No.
So you could be the first.
I mean, you could be. But I mean, the only reason why we'd probably say no is if we looked at your stuff and it was like really hardcore porn or something like that.
I think a porn is okay. I just draw the line at like Nazism and fucking sex.
Yeah, well, that too. I was gonna say but if somebody was stupid enough to send us that, like we're part of the good fight anthology. Well, they might happen though. You never know. People do dumb shit.
Yeah,
but you know we're part of the good fight anthology, and the it's not the good fight anymore, is it?
I forgot what it was called. I don't know.
I forgot too. Wasn't it The Good Fight?
It used to be. It was called The Good Fight, unless they changed the name of it. I don't know.
Silence Hate Anthology?
All I know is we got a story, and that shit's going to be dope, son.
Yeah, I got a story, and the story's good. So if you back that anthology, read our story.
We the best.
Well, we should probably get to Trey Walker and Hoyt Silva.
They the best.
So here it is.
If I had seen it, I don't remember it, but Sword in the Stone was good. I really enjoyed it.
Try the Black Cauldron if you like this.
Yeah, Stephanie has that one too.
It's a little darker. A little darker.
Well, it's in the title.
No. I mean, I don't mean the actual.
I know. I'm being stupid.
I know. I was playing along. I was committing to the bit, and then you went. Then you exited the bit.
Well, I don't want to make you sound like an idiot.
But I'm good with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but now that we're big time, we got to start.
now we can't. There's no more bits now that we're big time.
People got to take us for serious.
Serious.
Yeah, we serious dudes now.
We so sincere.
Yeah, dude, we service. We gotta be all we service. We like, yeah, man, we make them service.
So we both had a movie night. I watched Mortal Engines with the boy.
How was that?
It was way different. No. I looked shitty to me, which is why I didn't go see it in the movies. But so he said when we went to the 7-Eleven, he's like, so I kind of
got the movie at 7-Eleven?
Well, at Redbox, you know.
Okay, all right.
So he was like, He's like, so I kind of want to see this, but I kind of don't, but I want to rent a movie. And I was like, well, if there's nothing else you want to see, then we can rent that. And he's like, but I kind of don't want to see it. And I was like, I was like, well, which one, if you want to see it, I'll rent the Blu-ray. If you don't want to see it, I'm not going to rent it. And he's like,
okay, gotcha. Boom. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Hey, what's up? Sorry, I had to figure it out.
It's all right, man.
Old man in it. I just sent Trey the link, so he'll figure it out too in a second.
Okay. So what's up, bruh?
What's up, man?
Kevin was telling an interesting anecdote about Mortal Engines. So.
Oh yeah. Okay.
How
I heard
was
it was crap.
I really wanted to see it. So how was it?
It was different than I thought it would be, because I thought it was like these like mega cities on wheels, like devouring other cities. Like, uh-huh. So I'm not that interested in that. It sounds dumb. But then when you get to like the plot of what it is, it wasn't awful. I'll say that. It was different than what I expected. I expected it to be awful. So I was pleasantly surprised.
All right. That's good. Because I was oddly curious. Like, I know it looked pretty shitty, but I still You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. No, it definitely looked like eye candy for sure. Like, I mean, it looked really cool in concept, but definitely I saw that there was like possibly the chance for no story involved.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay.
No, there's some story there. There's some story going on. It's just really weird the way they went about telling the story. So I was like, okay, why? I mean, why would we even start? Okay, why are we starting with this? This is a weird thing.
Well, isn't it like it's a YA novel too, isn't it?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the money is. I don't know why we're making comics. We need to.
No, this is true. This is true.
We need to make a YA novel.
Really, just start on like fanfic, bro. And you know, that's like where all the good stuff starts, you know?
If we do a post-apocalyptic young YAGN about a ghost and a sparkly vampire, we are gonna sell a bunch of books.
I mean, it's anything's possible. I mean, people, and then that shit'll be a movie and everybody will hate it, but it'll get made somehow, and that's a lot, like how these things work. It's either
Hello?
Trey.
Hello? Are you Trey? There Trey.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, bro? All right, what's so up? We have Trey Walker.
Yes, correct.
Trey Walker and Hoyt Silva, the creative team, minus Micah Myers, behind the smash hit, wonderful, super terrific webcomic Last Stop. That is going to be on Kickstarter on Tuesday, right?
Yes, Tuesday, dude. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for the kind
words. Found out that Friday is a day for a Kickstarter.
I did. I found out. I found out in like not a great way, but then once other people confirmed it, I was like, all right, cool. Well, maybe this guy's like,
well, tell us how you found out it wasn't the great way. I would love to hear.
I know why you're asking this. So like I was talking to this other guy and it's this other guy who's done a bunch of Kickstarters.
Uh-huh.
And, I was asking him to review my Kickstarter, and before he even reviewed it, he asked me when I was launching, and I said, well, you know, we're planning to launch on Friday. And so this was like the first I had heard anyone say anything about like the Friday be a bad thing, and the way he presented it to me was basically like, you're an idiot for doing it on Friday.
Okay. All right.
And it was just kind of like, okay, you know, like I was like, all right, but like the guy obviously has had his run at that, you know, so like,
yes.
Obviously it has to be, the information he gives has to be taken, like, you know, it has to definitely be considered. So, you know, that's like when I came to y'all and I was like, hey, what's this thing that I'm now hearing about, like Fridays not being like a good day to like start the Kickstarter or whatever. And then you guys all came back with like legit reasons, like, oh yeah, people don't use their computers much on the weekends, da, 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 all this other stuff. And I was just like, okay, cool. Like that makes more sense in my mind, other than like, oh, you're an idiot.
You're a dumbass.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I know I am, but like being called one doesn't count.
See,
you
before
know?
You got here, though, and I were talking, and I think you need to adopt this mindset too. Like, you big time, son. Like, we hot to death. We making moves and setting precedences. And
this is true. This is true. We are making moves. Like,
we the hot boys. You know what I'm
saying?
No,
it's true. It's true. It's true.
If we keep calling ourselves dummies, everybody's going to believe it. Like,
that's true. Yeah. Right. I guess maybe I should allude that I'm slightly smarter than a dummy.
I mean, it's
yeah.
not much
above average. Yeah.
What was that, Trey?
It's not much of a stretch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So, like, you guys have been – now, Last Stop has been a webcomic. You guys have been doing this, I want to say, for, like, what, 2.5 years or something crazy like that?
2 years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's about awesome. That long, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We started
like, a super, super slow roll, like, 2.5 years ago-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But we really, you know, turned it up when we went to Webtoons, which is actually – I think we just crossed the year mark for doing it on Webtoon.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah, we've built, like, a pretty sweet following on there. Like, people are definitely into it and reading it. Like, it's definitely surprising. You know, we did – we tried to do it through our own site, you know, through Just Comics, and sort of generate all the traffic ourselves and try to, like, make it work that way. And, you know, we were doing okay. Like, I mean, I think after – at about like a year or so, we were probably getting we had like about like 600 readers, you know.
That's
and
cool.
That was like, yeah, that was like pretty decent, you know, especially starting from nothing or whatever and just doing it all ourselves. And and then we switched to Webtoon, and we've been doing it for just about as long now on Webtoon, and we have like almost 4,000 readers on there. Nice. So like, yeah, that's like definitely like the readership is more on Webtoon than it is like trying to generate your own, at least for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, because I mean, this is you're kind of putting your, you know, your web comic where people read web comics, so it would just make sense that more
exactly.
people would read your comic because they understand.
Right.
The idea of the content. I've never done a web comic, and the idea of it frightens me terribly. Tell me some of the, I'm being honest. I mean,
I was getting ready to ask the same question. How does that work?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me some of the benefits to having and doing a web comic.
So for me, as like, you know, the artist, it's awesome to do a web comic because basically I consistently have something that comes out every week. Right. Like, I have something that I'm putting out every week that's like, yo, this is what I did this week. Like, check it out. Which, like, when you're doing comics for print and for, you know, companies like Image and such, like, you're doing something that people aren't going to see until, like, possibly even like a year or 2 years after you've actually, like, even done the thing. Right.
That's
so, like, you've moved on to a bunch of other stuff, and you can't even, and in some cases, you can't even, like, talk about the thing that you've done, you know, because you've signed like, yeah, because you've signed like sort of NDAs and stuff like that to sort of keep that in the pocket because the company has plans for it or whatever. And that, like, then you just can't like really get the word out about it. And so what unfortunately happens in our industry when you're not consistently putting stuff out, people think you're not working. You know, when it's like usually the farthest thing from the truth is like usually when we're not putting something out, it's because we're fucking working on something. So, so having that webcomic, like basically having something that I can put out every week and then I can discuss every week, that I can like openly talk about the project that I'm working on now, is just like awesome, you know?
Yeah, that's cool,
I mean,
man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how did you and Trey hook up? Because like, Hoyt, I know you've been doing traditional comics for a very long time now. Trey, if you have any traditional comic work, I'm not really super familiar with it. I'm just being honest. Like, I'm not trying to like slight.
No, it's all good, dude. I have a big goose egg on that one. For
okay. So is this your first kind of foray into the comics industry as well?
This is my first biggest one. Like, me and Hoyt have been actively kind of like batting stuff around since like 2012, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was always kind of on the back end, you know, both full-time jobs. Like, we had the idea for doing web comics like that long ago, and it just kind of took a while to catch. And obviously I had a little bit of a learning curve, just because I was kind of new to writing comics specifically and that formatting system and how to convey a story through pictures as opposed to through prose.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of ill-fated anthology attempts.
Hey, welcome to the world of comics.
Yeah. Where like I submitted it, I got accepted, even went through the whole editing process with an editor, and then the book like dropped for whatever reason, publishing, all, you know, all the other shenanigans that happen in the entertainment industry in general. And done that like 3 or 4 times.
So here the question I have is, so with webtoons versus traditional comics, what's the difference in like your formatting of the script or your formatting of the art? So Kevin, like, can you explain that to the people listening?
Kevin is bringing the heat. That's a good question,
for,
Kevin.
For writing specifically, I don't change it at all. I script it out per.
Really?
Page. Yeah. Like I treat it like a normal comic. So like I actually script them like we would, like in this case specifically, like we're about to release it as a graphic novel and that's set up in the more traditional comic style, you know, per page, you know, page numbers, all that good stuff. And so that's just how I write the stories and then pass it off to Hoyt, and then, you know, he's the one that kind of breaks it down. He does the art traditionally in that format and then breaks it down for webtoon.
Yeah, because I would think writing for webtoons, because it's a constant page turn, it's a constant scroll down, so I would think that writing for that format would be completely different than writing for like the page turn in a traditional comic sense. That's interesting.
That's what
not thinking. Really though, because when you think about the pacing of it, like I think we do like what point, like average,
it's about like 4 or 5 pages a week.
Right So like if you have like, I mean obviously you want that page turn, and that's something that I kind of like tried to harp on, especially coming from more of like writing really short stories, and you know, you try to do a comic in a 3 pages, you kind of have to hit the mark pretty quick.
Yes.
And so like that's something I definitely took into this, knowing that, you know, we're only going to be releasing, you know, and even when we first started, I was more along the lines of 1 to 2 pages.
Yeah. So when when we first started doing it on our own, we were only putting out about like 1 or 2 pages a week, because that's like what my schedule allowed and how we had originally format, like we're reformatting the regular pages into like a Google slideshow.
Okay.
Because that's like what we had to do.
This is a completely different format. For those people that don't know, maybe they've never checked out webtoons. It's a scroll. They got a lot of good stuff on there. I mean, they got some heavy hitters over there making books, baby.
Yeah, you got me. Isn't that how we're plugging it now?
Heading the nice segue.
But yeah, but it's a scroll down format. It's not like your traditional like click for next page of webtoon. You just keep scrolling on your browser. And I'm not gonna lie to you.
Scroll.
The first time I did it, I was just waiting for it to end. I was like, when is this fuck? When am I going to stop scrolling? Jesus, this fucking takes forever. But once you kind of get used to the format, it's pretty neat. Like it's an interesting way. And I've seen some creators use the scroll down in an interesting fashion as well. And you guys have done similar things like following a ball down a stairs or like a drop of blood or something like that. Have you guys used the format in that aspect in any of your books?
To a certain extent, I try to incorporate it whenever we rework it for webtoon, you know, because like it's basically, I'm doing it to make sure that it works like on a page basis, because the original inception of this was that it was going to be a graphic novel. This is like one of the interesting things about this, that this was from the jump, we were making a graphic and we were going to just do a graphic novel. So we decided that that was like the format that we were going to go with. And then we decided, hey, well, it would be this story sort of also could lend itself to this web comics format. So we decided to like sort of start making it with that in mind after a moment, you know? And so it involved like a lot of just like reformatting from one to the other. But once we switched to webtoon and you have like what they, I think they're referred to as the infinite scroll, right? Like that you just like constantly scroll down. I really took a look at it and started to think about like what was the most consumed, like how did people consume it most commonly? And I came to find statistically that that was on the phone. So what I started to do was started to basically look at a lot of webtoons on my phone and start reading through them and see what other people were doing. And then reverse engineering what I thought would be the most plain way to do it, to be clear with the storytelling. Because there's something about like Last Stop that I think is different than a lot of the other things that a lot of other books that you see, in that like I truly believe that it's not about the art. It's actually about the story that we're telling. So the art itself is like slightly unfinished to a certain extent. And that is like sort of part of the charm, because this guy, the story is about a guy's life who is basically falling apart. So the fact that the art is like a little messy actually adds to that, I think, feeling and air to the storytelling. And so once I started to like, but I want to state that like plainly. So what I came up with was like basically a segue between each panel to have like the proper spacing, so that when you scroll down on the phone, you would basically never have to have like a panel that's stuck between two screens that that's you would have to keep scrolling up and down for, because like I feel like that breaks the storytelling format of it.
Okay.
And so like, and in between, to lead your eye from one panel to another, I added sort of like a road graphic in the background in between the panel and the gutter space, basically, that leads from one panel to another and breaks apart at parts of action and like all this other stuff. But it's just like little subtle things that I was thinking of that would really work for that format that we don't have the opportunity to work with in comics, you know?
Now, how are you gonna translate that over to the printed version of it?
So it's already done in comics, and oh, how that's gonna, yeah. So, and here's the awesome point that I think touches on what you were saying earlier, which is that it is very much akin to doing the same if you were writing for comics, but you're thinking about like a single page turn in a 22 page book when you're thinking about writing comics typically.
Yes.
When you approach it as like an infinite book, that we're saying it doesn't matter how many pages are in this book. We can have 300 pages. We can have 60 pages. We can have however, we can have 73 pages. It doesn't matter. Like, we're just saying we're doing this story until it's done.
Okay.
Then I think you can worry a little bit less about that, because you have more coming and you know that like it's just going to continue, you know, as long as you're hitting the mark on each page to make sure something is happening and the artist is following along. I think you can almost more adopt a Marvel style of like scripting or interpretation of the script, because you have the space to expand upon moments or to contract should you need to or want to, even in the story, you know, where that's something you're not afforded in regular comics, because you have to stick to the 22 pages. Like, you can't, you know, break that, because that's like sort of to me, it's a stupid old like printing thing left over from archaic days of printing, which no longer should have the problem today, but for some reason they still institute it. So whatever, but you know, like, that's something that you don't have to really worry about if you're thinking that the entire volume is going to be a graphic novel.
Okay.
And that's something that was kind like of an funny issue too, to like, that kind of popped up, is like when we conceived Blast Stop, like when like plotted out the story, it was basically essentially like a 4-book run. And I was kind of coming at it from like a, okay, each one will be roughly 22 pages. Like, even then we were kind of saying it doesn't matter, but I was still kind of aiming for that. And it's kind of funny, like, looking at the scripts now, because, like, we hit it on the first one. When I wrote the second book, I guess, like, the second act, it was a little bit longer. I think it was around 30 pages. And then I think by the time we got the fourth one, like, it clocked in at, like, 60-something.
We're at, we're at 72 pages.
More room to breathe in the story a little bit, because I wasn't constrained to the 22 pages, and kind of got to goof around with that a little bit.
We actually took like more like a manga approach to it to a certain extent. We're like, with manga, you're essentially getting like, you know, 15 to 20 pages every week of story. Mm-hmm. So I believe that like what happens with the reader when they consume things like that is that you're more open to things not moving so fast or at a certain pace, you know, like, because you know that next week you're going to get another like 10 to 15 pages, you know what I mean? Like, you know that like every week you're going to get like a good chunk of story. So in a manga, when I'm reading one, I'd actually don't mind when I pass a scene that I'm like, oh, this is just like a talking head scene where these characters are just conversing back and forth. For some reason, that doesn't bother me. I noticed that didn't bother me. And when I started to think about it, I started to be like, man, well, I bet you that doesn't bother me, because I know that like next week I'm going to get the action scene, you know, or next week I'm going to get, right. And it's going to be nuts, because it's going to be these like 10 pages of action or whatever. And so like with comics, what happens is, because you only have 22 pages and it only comes out once a month, you know, I think you have this feeling that you should get a lot out of that, because you're not getting much every month, and it, you know, and it has to be this thing that sort of holds your attention for another 30 days before the next issue comes out, you know, and sometimes 60 days, you know, whatever. Sometimes it takes a while. So I believe that that like gap is like too long and too hard to like hold, you know what I mean? Like someone's attention, and it really constrains a lot of potential in the storytelling.
So you know? As storytellers, would you guys say that you as a team more wrote to story beats for Last Stop than actual, like, you know, script page turns, like you're saying?
Definitely. Or, yeah.
Okay. So it's more beat based. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. He left it more beat based, but I made sure that things happen on every page. Like, I mean, our teamwork is like pretty damn like perfect, to be honest, at this point. Like, we've worked together for so long that we basically feed off each other, like, really, like you and Bob know, you know, like you guys have worked together so long, you know, I'm sure there's like
hate
you
it.
Guys have a language, you know. Yeah. So
we hate each other, so
yeah,
secretly.
Perfect. Yeah, then you guys know what I'm talking about.
So like the Eagles, like he's like Glenn Frey and I'm fucking we just fucking hate each other, we just do it for the money.
Yeah. all that comics, all that sweet comics,
all money. The
that's right money.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and so we have like a language with that, you know, and so like what I do is we have like almost more like we consider each other just the storytellers, and we have more of like a screenwriter director sort of like a relationship where basically
he gives me this
diving board. We're not that fancy, man. We're not that fancy. We just waste a lot of time. So he just basically gives me like a diving board to like jump into it.
That's cool.
You know, it works out.
Now, Trey, do you do the scripts like more of a Marvel style where you just kind of tell them what you want to appear on the page and you write dialogue around that? Or do you write like a traditional like panel one, page one block of text to describe panel, then dialogue, or are you kind of more free flowing with it all?
No, I definitely do the whole like, you know, script out the panels and everything, but I try very hard not to like, you know, I think about it more in terms of like what a spec script would be for a movie,
mm-hmm.
like where I do try to tell the story through the panels. So like I do put a lot of what I assume like obviously wouldn't show up in like the Marvel style, say, where it's basically just a beat sheet and then the artist goes ham on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do spend a little bit more time probably like being a little bit more flowery with the prose in terms of like conveying emotion and like the character or whatever, and obviously give enough to like convey what's going on in the scene and stuff like that, but I try to leave that pretty open-ended for him, because I remember my very first attempt at scripting, I was coming in hard with the like, you know, camera angles and shots and stuff like that, like all the stuff that artists like hate, apparently.
You were on that Alan Moore shit, son.
Yeah. I was trying to lay it out and give him like, you know, I was basically trying to draw the comic myself just through words and not let him do his job.
Yeah.
But I didn't know any better at the time, and I've definitely learned how to like, I feel, give an artist more to work with, you know.
I mean, I think that's I think it's a common mistake that writers make. It's like you try to do too much with your panel descriptions, and I think it depends on the artist you're working with. Everyone kind of works in different styles, and some people don't need all that. Like you can say, right. like, "Oh, right. this is a wizard's fucking laboratory," and they're like, "I know exactly what that looks like." But then,
right, exactly,
you know. But then other motherfuckers, you might have to lay it out real smooth, like, because I mean, they might have a different sense of reference or whatever, you know. So, or they might just not be that creative in some aspects either, you know.
For sure. For sure. I think it's all about that relationship that you build, like you're saying, like, is like it depends on the people that you're working with. You know, I think when I think of like comic book artists, to me, like I divvy them up in like two major categories, which are like, there's your like, you know, storytellers that are going to come in and they're going to like fuck up your shit. Like they're going to take whatever you wrote and they're going to do the story that they want to do based around like what you wrote and all that. And I think I'm probably part of that problem. But then there's like also like the guys who you know, do the who do the grocery shopping list, you know, and there's like nothing wrong with that, you know, but like whatever you put on that list, like you say, hey, I want, you know, ham, milk, eggs, you know, butter, they're going to come back from the store with ham, milk, eggs, butter, you know, you're not going to get anything more than like what you've asked for in there, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like that's a legit practice and like method of like telling a story, you know, you're leaning more so on the writer to do that. And I think that's like a little unfair. I prefer the back and forth of the other method, you know, where you can sort of toss it back and forth and come up with like what the best story is going to be that you can both tell together versus like what is the best story that either party can tell themselves, you know,
the collaboration aspect. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, the collaborative effort in comics is the best part. Like it's Kevin and I were talking about this today, like while doing Metal Shark Bro. I mean, like the back and forth between Kevin and myself, and then, you know, myself and Chaz, who's the editor and editor, and between Walt and me and the whole gang. Like it was just that's the way I felt.
There's a synergy, you know?
Yeah, it's the way making comics should be, because you see one side get excited and then it's kind of infectious and it kind of moves the entire group. Like that's making comics at its best, I think. And it sounds like you guys have a lot of that going on, which sounds very cool. And I think you can tell by looking at the product on the screen, or, you know, soon to be on the page, which is exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. I was gonna say, can you tell us what Last Stop is about for people who are wanting to back the Kickstarter? Hey,
Kevin, you great son. You
learn from the best, son. Learn from that man Bob France. He taught me.
Fire. No, son, you take your credit. You good.
So like Last Stop is about the world's last superhero who finds out he has cancer, and then he has to figure out what he's gonna do with his time left.
So he gets a fatal diagnosis, basically?
Yeah. Yeah, basically the comic starts off with and this is within the first update or two, you sort of find this out, maybe in the first one even. And
I think it's in the first issue, because I got the first issue from you.
Right. Long ago when we did that, we printed issue one way back when we first did that. Yeah. Yeah, he finds out he has a terminal disease, and he has to, you know, sort of – he takes it differently than you would expect, you know. I think at this point Lincoln is – Lincoln Adams, a.k.a. Unstoppable, the hero of our story. He is looking for a way out, you know. Like, he's the last superhero left, so he's just kind of like, dude, my time has run its course, you know. Like, I don't really do much around here anymore. So he's kind of looking for a graceful exit, but yet he's still the hero. So, you know, he's not going to like just murder himself for no reason or anything like that. Like, you know, so it's sort of him dealing with all of that stuff. And then one of his old nemesis show up, you know, and that sort of throws a whole monkey wrench in his plans of just like getting out of there. So it's exciting. I mean, I love the story, to be honest.
Now, this is that you let me preview, because we looked at the Kickstarter and I was like, yo, son, this shit's great. I wasn't all like, don't do it on a fucking Friday, you moron.
That was me. That's why.
That was Kevin, yeah.
It says it's 174 pages, 175 pages, correct?
Yeah.
Now, is that the entire like story of this character, or do you guys plan on doing more?
So, Trey, do you want to take
spoilers? No. I think his microphone's not working.
Oh, okay.
It looks like he's got a red X. Is he muted, Bob?
I didn't mute him.
Oh, there he goes.
Y'all muting?
Okay. I don't know what happened there. I muted myself somehow.
You're good.
Okay, so yeah. Actually, I think our very first stretch goal, which is basically like right after we do it, like right after we get it funded.
Yeah, if we can get there far, yeah, for sure.
we're gonna drop like an exclusive to the printed version, like a little 10-page short, to kind of just expand on the story a little bit.
Ah, so you're gonna drop the hotness, like, oh, like here we got 175 pages, but
now don't take this the wrong way. But if I've been reading this fucking thing online for 2 years, and then you find it, and then you're dropping secret pages, I'm gonna be pissed. Fuck y'all.
But we gave you 2 years free free comics.
Yeah, but that's the thing about like an online
the
audience,
average consumer is what he's
saying.
They are loyal as fuck.
We're not pulling some EA business on you where
this is true.
With like, you have to buy the game and then you have to pay extra to actually complete it.
To play it. Yeah.
The whole story is what's being released on Webtoon. We're not hiding anything that's not an actual thing. I wouldn't call it a throwaway story, but it's just a fun little like
in case you want more.
Yeah, there's a little tiny
taste.
Yeah, a little tiny free. Taste of how things were before, basically. Right, just a little little extra. And then I'm gonna break the news to y'all now too. I guess I'll give y'all the exclusive, right? I just got in tonight. My dude, the god that walks amongst mortals, Brian Stelfreeze, like, just dropped a 3-page story that he did for us. Like,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. He just, like, he wanted to do some art for us and hook it up that way. And he was gonna do a pinup, you know. But you know, since we're studio mates, for those people that don't know, Brian Stelfreeze and I have been studio mates for like 8 years now. So, you know, he's one of my best friends, and we were basically just, I've been, you know, obviously he's been along on the whole ride for Last Stop, you know, cheering in the corner and all that, and he's had our backs on it. And, you know, we've been talking about how just, you know, it's more about the story. It's not really about the art and all this stuff. So when he was going to do, he wanted to do a piece of art to help like promo the Kickstarter and stuff and do a pinup that went in there. But then he realized that he was just like, nah, but he really wanted to just do a story. So he like took it upon himself, like this fucking beast of a man. Yeah. Just like in a day and a half, like cranked out like 3 pages, colored them like in the spirit of Last Stop, you know, like he just basically, cause how I function with Last Stop is that basically what I'm doing is inking my layouts, you know, like I'm laying it out and then I'm just straight going with ink on it. It's digital, but like, I'm just going straight with digital ink, finishing that off, throwing some quick colors on it to push the story along, and then moving on, you know. And he took the same approach, and he came up with like just this fucking badass, like crazy story that he put in there. It's like blew me away, man. So yeah, definitely breaking that on y'all. That we just got that like hours
ago. Like, two hours ago. Yeah.
No, that I think. Well, I think we're just gonna include that in the volume, man. I think that's just part of the included. Yeah. So that'll be available in the graphic novel. You know, I don't want to hold that off on anybody. I want to make sure that like, you know, people read it and see it and check it out. So I'll drop like a preview page of it or something like that. We'll figure out what we're going to do with it. Cause like, again, like I said, we just got it. Had no idea that we were going to get this. Like, figure it out. It's fucking nuke. Yeah.
And like, right. He calls me and he's like, dude, check your email.
Right? Yeah.
Drop whatever you're doing. Drop it. Like while I'm on the phone, go look at your email.
Yeah.
And that was cool. Literally like 2 hours ago. So
awesome.
Yeah, in the car, I was like giddy, laughing, like chuckling to myself, looking like an idiot driving down the road, like just thinking about it. Like,
well, it's like it blew me the fuck away, man. Because like, and I'm sorry, I'm like dropping the bombs here, but
you fucking want to.
Okay. All right. Bet. Yeah. So like, it just blew me the fuck away, man. Because like, I honestly never considered that anybody else would even ever draw the character in a story, you know, like I think like long before when I even started doing this, I was like, yeah, well, like we're going to draw, you know, I'll be the guy who draws this thing and that's fine, you know what I mean, like that's cool. And just never even considered that somebody else would even have the want to do a story, you know, on this character. And you know, to have like Brian come along and just like do that, it was like, it fucked me up, dude. I was just like, what? I was just like totally like off of that, because I just like couldn't it just like for some reason just like really made the character like way more real, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I've seen obviously at this point like other people have done pinups and stuff like that for us for the Kickstarter and to help promote the webtoon, and people have like, you know, amazing people, Walter Osley, Kevin Shaw, like these, like, you know, David Williams just turned in a piece that I'm gonna color for it, you know, like there's just like some amazing people have come out and like really shown some support and love for us, like for doing the story. But like, to see somebody else do a story, you know, like to take the character and like do a story, that's like never happened to me before. Yeah. And that was like just insane, you know?
And I mean, like, it's a good looking character. It's got a good look to it.
Got a great design. Yeah.
I've always been appreciate
the design of the book. I like the way you kind of use colors to set tones and like moods. It's very much like Parker. You know, like
said that at the NC Comic Con. The first thing I said.
Yeah, yeah. I took a lot of influence from Parker for sure. Like for sure, I took a lot of. I saw what Darwin Cook was doing by doing like a whole story in a singular color, and painting the story with that. And what I decided is I would like try to echo that through like just from panel to panel, even, you know, like break it down even further, see how tight I could get that. You know,
and using the color to tell the story is awesome. It's a really neat tool for people like Bob and I who aren't artists, like it really strikes us more as the artists. It's normal, like that's like second nature for you guys, so you know about what the colors mean and the story and stuff. Yeah. So when you're reading the dialogue and you're like, oh, like that's, you get to the end of the line and they're sad, oh, that's why they're that light blue, or that's why they're
right
green here, because they're not feeling good, there's something wrong with the situation, like, so like that, you know, you start to interpret that as a writer or a non-artist, and you start to see exactly what you guys are getting at emotionally through what you're doing with the visual storytelling mixed with the narrative.
So. Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks, yeah. Dude. Yeah, that's definitely what we're going for, man. You know, like we set out to like definitely just do something different, you know. And I think like I'm super like thrilled to hear you say that like appeals to you as like a writer, because like really like the goal was to like simplify everything and like, you know, really make it open for people who almost don't even read comics, you know, or don't necessarily even like superhero comics or whatever. You know, like I really wanted to open it up to more of just a general crowd. You know, I think that's like the success. When you see a successful webcomic, you see that it can be like almost like, you know, enjoyed and broken down by anybody, right? Like, so my plan of attack was like sort of to try to get at that, you know? And so like, that's awesome that if you're enjoying it, that makes me feel stellar, dude. So.
Well, there you go. So this thing launches on Tuesday. I'm going to put the podcast out probably today. So Tuesday, just search Last Stop on Kickstarter and this will get going. What kind of rewards are you guys looking at here? Because yeah, you know, I gotta get some bang for my buck here, dudes.
Oh, dude, we got some sick rewards, dude. You don't even know. Trey, you wanna start? You want to know about some of the rewards?
Sure. I feel like most of them kind of fall in line with, like, I mean, I think, you know, obviously the 200 plus page graphic novel, you know,
that shit's crazy that you guys are putting out a 200 page graphic novel. That's insane.
That's awesome.
Boom, dude. Yeah, you want to hook it up. Yeah. Yeah. You want it to be like that fat chunk, dude.
That's like two graphic novels. Basically, whatever you get on Last Stop, you basically buy in two graphic novels for the price of one. So remember
that's
that.
Right.
Remember that's right. Kids. When you buy Last Stop, you're getting two for the price of one. And a Brian right. Stelfree story.
So. And a Brian Stelfree story. That's right. That's right, dude. So that's a guarantee. Guarantee.
But we got some pretty sweet. Hoyt knocked out a pretty baller little shirt design. So we got a shirt here. Let's see what else we got. I actually got a couple shirts.
Yeah, we've got some like pretty interesting stuff too. Like, I mean, like you're saying, like we did do the shirt deal, but we also have like a script book like tier, where basically what you're going to get is you would get the graphic novel, you'll get the PDF for the graphic novel as well. So you get both digital and physical. But you'll also get like a mini 22 page booklet that will have excerpts from Trey's script. Ooh, and then, cool. Yeah. And then like layouts in there as well that correspond to those script pages, and then, you know, pointing you to the pages in the graphic novel where they're finished, so you can see like how they stepped from, you know, basically what we were talking about earlier, how he's writing it, how I'm interpreting it for the trade, you know, and working that
right
out. So
because 9 times out of 10 it don't match up
right. It's so, there
but page it's not the panel, so from page yeah. to panel, so how it right. plays out, and that's right, for right. you like aspiring comic creators out there, you can actually see how that works out.
And yeah, and like right. some of our notes as well, like, you know, we're gonna go
yeah.
and show like where we went in our Google Doc, and like we're kind of back and forth on, okay, this isn't working,
yeah, because we do set notes on it as we write through it, you know, like basically I'll read something and go, you know, I think this works here, but this is not working for me or whatever, or I'll let him know like, hey, I'm gonna change this to this, or, you know, like stuff like that, and we just go back and forth, so it'll have our notes on the script as well.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, it'll be a good insight into how we sort of mesh and go back and forth. And then, like, not only
nice.
Yes, how the sauce is made, exactly, dude. And then we've got like a Agent of Fist here. Fist is our basically our world police force in Last Stop, and the Agents of Fist tier will actually get you the PDF, the graphic novel itself, a Fist t-shirt with the Fist logo on it, and then actually a Fist hat as well. You'll get a cap with the Fist logo stitched onto there. Cool. Nice. Yeah. So you look like a little Agent of Fist guy. You know, you can walk around town being a little minion of the good guys. And then like after that, we've got like actually my favorite personal tier is the jacket tier. We ended up finding this awesome badass fucking jacket that is essentially in the same pattern as Unstoppable's costume.
Okay.
As wild as that sounds. Yeah. Like, it's yeah, like literally like is perfect. Close. And it has like a neoprene top that like sort of looks like a superhero sort of costume like print on it. And then we have this like badass like little silhouette of his head with you know sort of like where his skull is outlined on his fro. And you know, just that as a patch on the chest, but like, it's like so sick, dude. Like, I think I sent you guys like a picture of me wearing it. Like, it is like so dope. I can't believe when that shit showed up in the mail, I was just like blown away. I was like, what? Sick. So yeah, definitely have those for anybody interested. And that's $100. And so with that, you'd get like this baller ass jacket and you'll get like the graphic novel and the PDF for it. And then we've got, Yeah. And then we've got like a, you know, commission tiers, sketch tiers where, you know, I'll do headshots and of any character you'd like in the book and, or, you know, of any character that you'd like me to do or, and full figure commissions. We only have 10 of the full figure commissions. So you got to hop on those quick if anybody wants to get those. And then, you know, a tier where you can get the whole thing, where you get one of everything basically. And then also like the personal sketchbook tier, which comes with literally one of my sketchbooks here. I fill up tons of sketchbooks every year. And so what I'll do for whoever, there's one slot of that, whoever gets that, you can actually, literally I will grab one off of the stack here and send it your way.
That's cool.
So you'll have yeah, just, you know, I don't know how many pages, they're all different page counts or whatever, but I'll just grab a nice one for you and put it in and send it off with a personal thanks in there. But that's awesome. Yeah.
That's a great idea too, I think.
Silva's got sketchbooks laying all over the place. Like, yeah, sure.
I do. Yeah, I've got to get rid of some of these. My wife gets upset when she starts finding them all over the place. And then I buy ones before I even finish other ones, you know, so she's just like, just finish the damn ones you got. You don't need another one.
You can't control me.
Don't even start about the notebook problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a really unique tier actually too, because nowhere else can you get a Hoy Silva sketchbook.
Correct. I do not sell my sketchbook. I actually don't put out most of the stuff that I draw in my sketchbook. There's a lot of just like, you know, growing and planning and figuring out that I do in the sketchbook that I actually don't show to the public. So if you really want to get an idea of like the vast amount of how much I actually draw, definitely get in on that and get that one. But so there's only one available. So if anybody wants to get one,
so you got to get that one.
The one, yeah, exactly.
Before he blow up, and you got that one sketchbook, you got to come to the con and be like, back in the day, I bought this.
Yeah,
one.
That's right.
Because he's going to be happy that you had that one sketchbook.
That
original fan thing going on.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if the guy who gets my sketchbook shows up at a show, guy or girl who gets my sketchbook shows up at a show with my sketchbook, I will give you another commission on the house. I will give you another drawing for having that dedication and being that big of a fan. I would really appreciate that.
There it is. All right. So you heard it first here. Hoyt Silva and Trey Walker, their book Last Stop is coming to Kickstarter on Tuesday. Get involved. Get yourself a hat, a shirt, a jacket, perhaps. Anything you need, and you could be part of the Last Stop Army. Boys, thank you for coming on, and good luck with the Kickstarter.
Appreciate it, Bob. Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Peace out, Kevin.
Later, guys.
Later.
That was Trey Walker. That was Trey Walker and Hoyt Silva. They're talking about their Kickstarter Last Stop.
Yeah, buddy.
And as you know, Hoyt's a great friend of ours, and we just met Trey tonight, and it was great to talk to them about this really dope Kickstarter they have heading your way on Tuesday.
178 pages, man. That's fucking crazy.
It's like two books.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, I'm sure it's reasonably priced because I know Hoyt like that. He's
reasonably priced.
Yeah, I'm sure it's reasonably priced. Yeah, so that's really interesting. And as he said,
things gonna be like the size of a goddamn phone book.
It's gonna be big, man. pages. That's like 200 pages of comic.
Shipping on that's going to be fucking bonkers.
Yes, because it's going to weigh probably like 3 pounds.
It's going to be like 10 pounds of comic. You're just going to get a fucking 10-pound bag of comics.
You might as well get the jacket with it because the shipping is going to cost them as much for them to send you the jacket. So you might as well get the jacket because that's a heavy-ass jacket. You get a heavy-ass jacket and a heavy-ass comic.
Who ordered 50 pounds of comics? Oh, that'd be me. Here you go, sir. 50 pounds.
This you make a comic sound like drugs now. All of a sudden, it's pretty funny.
Got to rush.
That was a brick of comic with a jacket. So you're obviously joining a comic book street gang.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it. And Hoyt's a good dude. He's got a lot of cool ideas. And I've never met or talked to Trey before, but he seems like a cool dude. Him and Hoyt kind of speak in the same vernacular. Like, they have similar tones and stuff like that.
They do.
Yeah, good dude, man. I liked it. That was fun. So
it was a great pod. We had fun. Hopefully you guys had fun, and we'll be back again next week.
Yeah, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
See ya.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.